sisters.
Let us pause a minute.
Brothers and sisters, let us turn to the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 11. And let us read the whole chapter. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. I wanted to speak to you tonight about the life of faith. I entitled this message, The Life of Faith. I'll just get my thoughts. So the life of faith. I'd like us together to look at some passages of scripture that teach us that the Christian life is a life of faith. In fact, it's not simply when we first believe in the Lord, when we believed in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ, when we believed in sound Christian doctrines, everyone here, when we became Christians, we believed in the Trinity. We believed that God is three persons in one. We believed in the virgin birth. We believe that these things actually are true, even though we can't understand them with our minds. So we believe these things. What I'd like us to see tonight is that without faith, it is impossible to accomplish anything in our walk with the Lord. Without faith, we can do nothing. As the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And also in Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, as we have just read. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I would like us to see from the scripture that faith is the key to living the Christian life. With all the trials and temptations that come our way, that are part of the high calling of our profession. For as the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, was made perfect through sufferings, so must we also be perfected and matured through our own crosses and our own sufferings. But I would like us to see, brothers, that the only way we can walk this rocky road and this great pilgrimage to the celestial city is by faith. Thus, this is what the Apostle Paul is teaching us in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There is a deep theology in this verse, into which we don't have time to fully dive this evening, but I want to focus our attention on those words in the middle of this verse. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This is our starting point. This is our foundation. On this, the whole edifice is built. The faith of the Son of God. What is the rock upon which Christ is building his church? What does the scripture say in Matthew 16? It reads, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter believed. He had faith that the Lord Jesus was indeed the Son of God, even though many around him doubted. In verse 17 also tells us that Peter's faith was a gift from God, not something that originated in himself or that he himself created, where we read, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In the letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul also teaches us that this faith is a gift from God and not of ourselves. But God, it reads, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then he says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Brothers, I hope we can see two things from these verses. First, that faith is not only needed when we enter the Christian life, but also is the very thing that keeps it going. Second, this faith is a free and unmerited gift from God, which God Himself plants in our hearts. Let us now see how the scripture defines faith. What is faith? We read in Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word translated in the King James as substance in the Greek is hypostasis, and is translated elsewhere in the AV as confidence. The Greek for evidence is elekos, and can otherwise be translated as conviction. In other words, faith is the confidence of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So there is a confidence, there is a conviction in something that we hope for and something that we do not see. A person who has faith holds to be true and real those things which he cannot see, or feel, or touch, or sense, and yet he is convinced that they are as true and as real as those things that he can see, and touch, and feel. Neither of us here has ever seen heaven, and yet we are convinced and confident that such a place exists. And we are willing to sacrifice things that we do see to obtain that which we cannot see, but which we do see by faith. Abraham is called the father of all them that believe. Romans 4:11 says that. What did Abraham do then to inherit such a title? We read in Romans 4:3. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham had faith in God. God made a promise to Abraham, which at the time of its making seemed impossible. We read in Genesis 17, God says to Abraham, and when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all dominion for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And then later in the same chapter, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, Thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be shall. Kings of people shall be of her. And then finally, the last, later in that same chapter, it says, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? God made a promise to Abraham, which to the human reason was an impossibility. We know that Abraham was in 90, it says 99, Sarah was 90. Humanly speaking, biologically speaking, it is impossible for people of that age to have children. But God, so you have the facts, and then you have the promise of God, that God will make Abraham a father of many nations when he was already an old man and never had children. And we see in verse 17 that even Abraham, at first, somewhat struggled with God's promise, showing how impossible it seemed, even to Abraham. But this Abraham's struggle is recorded for our instruction as an example of what faith in action is. God told him something that sounded completely impossible. And even though he himself at first struggled to believe, Abraham did not trust what his own understanding was telling him, but trusted in God, and that he is able to bring it to pass. And I want to take this as an example in our own lives. We may look at ourselves. We pray to some of the brethren prayed tonight about our sins and our latest sins this week. So we may look at ourselves and we see all the remaining sin. We see all the corruption that is within our hearts. We see all the wickedness, all the filth that spews out of our hearts. We look at what we do, we look at our actions, our works, we see how poor, how small our labors for the Lord are. And that, you see, if we look at what can be seen, if we look with our human eyes, you look at yourself, you see yourself in this wretched state, that may cause you to despair. That may cause you to despair of your hope. You ask, how can such a failure as I, such a mass of corruption, ever be a Christian? You see, my own sin is something that I know, I feel, I can see my sin, I can feel my sin. It's palpable. I can experience it. I have a real experience. I don't need faith to know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner. I see it every day. You don't have to tell me about my sin. It's a daily reality I face. But brothers, if we dwell on ourselves and on what we can see and experience of our Christian life, we will be like Peter, we'll sink. We will sink. This is a Goliath that has slain his thousands. Let us see what does the Apostle Paul do in Romans 7 when he finds himself in the same situation. So in Romans 7, the Apostle Paul looks at himself, assesses his life, and this is what he says. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The Apostle Paul, by faith, lays hold of Christ. He doesn't look at himself, he looks outside of himself, by faith, Christ. He lays hold of Christ. He sees that in himself, that is in our flesh, dwells no good thing. And if he were to stop there and only look at what he can see with his eyes and experience, which is his own wretchedness, how can he ever have hope of entering heaven? How can we ever have hope of entering heaven if all we can see is if we only look at ourselves? Revelation 21:27 tells us, there shall in no wise enter into it, that is in heaven, anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie. Scripture is clear. There shall not enter into heaven anything that defiles. But this is what we are if we look at ourselves. You look at yourself, you will see that we are full of such things, of such defilements and abominations. So sinners as we are in need of the righteousness of another. We're in need of the righteousness of the second Adam, who came to do for me, a child of the first Adam, that which I could never do for myself, which is to live a sinless life and die in the behalf of the sinful, and thereby procure them eternal life. But how can we obtain this alien righteousness, this righteousness which is not within me? I don't have it. How can I obtain that righteousness, which is the only righteousness that can allow me into heaven? In John chapter 6, they came to the Lord Jesus and they said to him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe that he is your righteousness. Stop looking at yourself. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You must believe that he died and paid the penalty of all your sins in full. And these are things which can only be discerned spiritually. These are not things which can be seen. That is why the scripture says in Romans 1:17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The righteous shall live by faith. How can we be righteous? By faith. The just shall live by faith. There is no formula. I'm not here to tell you, oh, if you want to be righteous, here's the list. All the best. Go and do that and you'll be righteous. No, the scripture says that the righteous will live by faith. It is by faith that you are righteous. It is by faith that you become righteous. It is by faith that you stay righteous. The just shall live by faith, for there is no other way that the just can live. The just shall live, as we saw in Galatians, what Paul said, the just shall live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For I know whom I have believed." I know, again, whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. It is only by faith which can produce the works. No faith, no works. Faith and works are like the two sides of the same coin. For this reason, the Apostle James writes, "Faith without works is dead." That is, you cannot have faith and not have works, and you cannot have works and not have faith. They coexist. And where there is no faith, there cannot be true works. This is all that I have for us tonight. May the Lord bless it to you. Do you have any questions? I think we have, how much time do we have?
It's fine.
Yes.
It's fine. We can, you don't have to go through the whole time. So
sure.
Please, so thank you. Do you want to have any questions?
Do you want to come up? I just said that your voice carries. I'll just take it off the recording.
There's many things we're told in